Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. What did you think of Tabitha and Corinne, Joe?
I thought they were great. And definitely a consulting service that I think maybe we should use, Kevin.
Yeah, I think that you should use. Now, Joe, do you know what we're going to be doing next for our final segment here?
Yes, I do.
Share with me.
Okay, we're going to be talking about the Christmas Carol show that the Massasoit Theater Company is putting on.
Okay, A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. A Christmas Carol.
And joining us in studio is not only the person who is the costume designer, but she also was part of the team of Nathan Fogg. We have Jennifer Spagone, who helped adapt this from the Charles Dickens version of A Christmas Carol, and choreographer-director Corinne Mason joining us. Ladies, welcome to Monday Night Talk, or at least Corinne, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Ladies, welcome.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you?
Hey, thank you for having us.
Now, Corinne, you owe us a little bit of something before we move on to talking about A Christmas Carol.
Oh, do I?
You do, because you recall your first time here, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. How did everything go for your first Massasoit debut, of your directorial debut at Massasoit?
It was a fantastic experience. We did The Wizard of Oz in May, and it was a huge success and sold out shows all over the place, and our cast was fantastic. The audiences loved it, so we're ready to give them something else this time.
All right, so you're ready for yet another show, a great show. And Jen, you're somebody who, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're somebody who has been with Massasoit for how long?
It's a long time now. I started on staff at Massasoit in 2000, so 14 years I've been working at Massasoit, costuming all the productions that we do there, yeah.
Now, how did it come to be that you decided to sit down with Nathan Fogg and mm-hmm. adapt this? You kind of give a little bit of an update, a reprisal of A Christmas Carol.
Sure. Well, we were interested in doing a Christmas show and producing something at Christmas time. I've always loved the Christmas Carol story. It's like a beloved thing that I return to every Christmas, and I felt like we needed to offer that in this area. Mm-hmm. So we decided we would produce A Christmas Carol, and we also decided that we would try to write the stage script ourselves. So Nathan and I sat down with the novel, and we just began writing, starting from page one.
And it only took like a week or two?
No. No, it actually took us all summer long. We would write at night and at my kitchen table. So we had the book, a laptop, and the two of us. And we'd stay up pretty late some nights, but it was a lot of fun.
What was the challenge to adapting what Charles Dickens had done, and also trying to make it, set it apart from what folks are normally used to seeing, whether it's on TV or seeing it up on stage?
Sure. Well, I really wanted to try to capture the essence of the book and use as much Dickensian language as we possibly could. That was really the goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you had a chance to, just once they were done putting pen to paper and getting it all ready for everybody to read it, what was your thought, your first read-through on this?
I remember the first read-through very well, and the novel is something that I was very familiar with, and so when we went in that day, I had fingers crossed, hoping and praying that it was going to be very close to the novel, and it is so close. It is really a true adaptation of A Christmas Carol, and Charles Dickens really wrote this beautiful story about love and humanity, mm-hmm. And all of that is captured in this script. So I was honored to be a part of telling that story.
I just want to remind folks that this is actually a show that's going to be hitting the stage this coming Saturday. So if you have no plans for after, if you could put off shopping for a couple of days, I know that all the sales hit right after the day after Thanksgiving. It actually hits the stage of the 29th of this Saturday for 7 shows. I believe it's 3 weekends. There'll be one Friday. Yep. At the Massasoit Community College at the Buckley Performing Arts Center, which is on the Brockton campus. And if folks want to get tickets, it's 508 427-1234, or you can always look them up online. I think it's massasoit.mass.edu, but that's just a quick guess. I guess what has been, Corinne, when it came to blocking this off and doing it, would have been some of the challenges as a director and a choreographer of this show that you've had to face?
This show is actually really large. We have about 40 people in the cast, but a lot of the scene work is very compartmentalized. And so we have, like, sometimes only two people coming in for rehearsals, three people coming in for rehearsals. And so in the beginning, when we were putting it together, it was like a lot of little snippets of blocking. And so now that we're in the phase of like really putting it all together and everyone gets to see everybody's work, it's really a beautiful celebration of that. And also, when doing character development, when you read the book, the ghosts really have this human quality. And I'll keep going back to that. And sometimes you see adaptations of Christmas Carol where they're like ghoulish, or it's, you know, it's not realistic. And I don't think Charles Dickens intended that with the novel. And so we really tried to bring the humanity back to some of these magical characters.
And I believe, Jennifer, you have met, you and I have had a conversation prior to doing this radio show. And I guess my understanding is that you wanted to kind of put Mr. Scrooge, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge, in a different light than what we have been believed to perceive of him, correct? Mm-hmm.
Right. I believe that it was Dickens' intention to show Ebenezer Scrooge as someone who was wounded or rejected early on in life, and how that made him kind of shy away from trying to develop solid, intimate relationships and turned him toward, the goal of being successful in business and of making money. And the cost of that for him is that he's isolated himself and he doesn't have that light-hearted love in his life at all. So it's changed him as a person.
Kind of hardened him, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of hardened him. It's made him indifferent, but not so much grumpy or angry. He just seems as though he's just not participating and interacting with his fellow man.
Joe?
What have some of the challenges been putting this show together, whether it be, you know, getting the cast together or building the stage or whatever it might be?
It's always a challenge working with so many people. When you have adults and children and teenagers coming together to do something this large, that is a little bit of a challenge, but everybody is really committed to the success of this project. So it's gone as smoothly as I think putting a production possibly can. Yeah. But for me, I think one of the biggest challenges has been watching this ginormous set go up. It is huge, and it is a true representation of Dickensian London. And, you know, the buildings are sky high, and they open like a storybook. And so I didn't build anything. But granted, watching them do it and figure out all these cogs and gears has been fascinating for me to see, and it's truly stunning.
Now, is this part musical? Is this a part musical part, or is it a straight show? I would think with choreography, there's got to be some kind of a dance too. And you got Steve Shannon involved, so it's got to have a little musical element to it, right?
Right. I would call it a straight show with music. That's what I would call it.
I want to make sure I got that correct.
Mm-hmm. We're definitely interested in the telling of the story of A Christmas Carol and Ebenezer Scrooge, but we also feel as though what's a Christmas show without Christmas music? And so there's lots of dancing and singing to go along with the story, and so it's a good time.
Mm-hmm. And if folks hear anything else in the background, actually, show producer Mark Rashto is here with his son, and they're just kind of hanging out, so we want to give a little love to him. Also, a bit of a shout-out to Matt Gaminski, who is lighting coordinator.
Daddy!
And as well as Brian Willis, who is, as Corinne had alluded to, the guy who builds all these things and has helped over the past, I want to say, decade to 15 years, be a part of doing some of the creative things that have taken place for the Massasoit Theater Company.
Brian's been very dedicated to the Massasoit Theater Company, and he's built whatever we've given him to build.
He's like the evil genius of theater, isn't he? He comes up with some really unique things. I mean, not to give away any trade secrets, but you had a very cool element in Wizard of Oz that many theater companies may not have been, privy to, and that, it was he and his, staff who were able to kind of pull that off.
Yeah, there's no task that's too big for Brian and his team. Granted, Tony Light is also a part of that team. Casey Sheehan, we have a couple of other people who have joined us for this show. But he gets an idea and he says, we're going to make this idea possible. And nothing is too small. It's inspiring.
And let's not forget Nathan Fogg, who is not here today, but he, being the co, he helped you and Jennifer was the ones who adapted this.
Right.
Putting the set design together, talk to me about, marvel about that, if you will, for a moment.
Well, it was interesting. When we were writing the adaptation, I asked Nathan to draw what he thought the set would look like so that we could understand how we would transition our scenes.
Mm-hmm. That's key in community theater.
Right. So having that technical knowledge while we were writing the adaptation was great. So Nathan had a very solid idea of what he wanted the set to look like well early, probably in July. He drew it for me one hot night when we were up writing. So, yeah. So he had a very clear vision of what he wanted it to look like, and Brian has made it happen. So it's really cool.
Well, whenever Nathan gets something in his head, I can remember a show that he did where the French doors had to be involved, and somehow a set had to be built in order to have the French doors, and it happened.
We have French doors in this show, too.
Of course you do.
Yes.
Of course you do.
There are a lot of elements to the set in this show, and it really adds. Mm-hmm. It's going to add to the story.
Again, we're speaking with Corinne Mason, who is the director, choreographer, and the voice you just heard a moment ago, Jennifer Spagone, who is not only the person who co-adapted this story, but also is the costume designer for the show and has been for many a show that have hit the stage for the Massasoit Theater Company. What is it? Has there been any challenges to this show to put costumes together, or is it just another show and you're able to kind of just go with the flow?
Well, it's always a challenge to put costumes together, especially in supporting the story. This particular show is something that I love to do, which is a period costuming piece. So you have to kind of try to stay true to what was happening at the time. So 19th century Dickensian London.
Very fun.
Yeah, totally fun. Plus, we'd like to make it look pretty and Christmassy, too, on top of it. And, of course, we want our ghosts to be spectacular.
Yeah, and I have to ask, it was something that Corinne had mentioned earlier. Being the director and trying to take the vision of how it was adapted, how have you tried to take the adaptation from what Jennifer and Nathan have done, whether it's Ebenezer Scrooge or Tiny Tim or even some of the ghosts that enter Scrooge's life? How have you taken that and maybe you had a little of your own flavor, you know what I mean? Maybe it's like a sundae where, added to the chocolate and vanilla ice cream with a banana and you're like, oh, I want nuts and hot fudge on top of this. Am I wrong here?
No, you're not wrong at all. The key to a great team is collaboration and communication. And so we are constantly having conversations, and the conversations and the questions do not stop. So we're always talking about ways that we can improve everything. And the other element that gets added to production process that people forget about is the artistic aspect of the actors. And we have some phenomenal actors. So they come
share with us.
With
share
ideas.
With us.
Our ghosts especially. I mean, granted, they're all wonderful. Do not get me wrong. But when you're portraying a ghost, you either get this idea in your head that this is Halloween, macabre quality to it, or like an apparition that we would imagine seeing. And so we've been playing with how to layer those different elements into their interpretations of spirits. And what are spirits? How do we see them? Mm. Yeah. So it's been a blast.
So I have to ask you here, this being Tech Week, how does any challenges for you being the director choreographer when it comes to we have a holiday upon us, how are you kind of working this where you're going to be able to hit the stage on Saturday night at 8:00, folks, just so you know, get your tickets early enough because I have a feeling this show's going to sell out. But how are you going to be conducting this week compared to any other?
We started a little earlier, actually. A typical tech week will run 5 days, and we extended into the week before so as to accommodate
people. So last week you were doing that.
We were putting together. So to accommodate people's schedules, we don't want to rip away anyone's holiday. We want to enhance it. And so we're trying to be as accommodating as possible.
I have to ask you, what have been some of the challenges as a director? I mean, is there mm-hmm. there's going to be parts where some things take a little longer. Maybe you have a cast member who takes a little longer to get mm-hmm. off book, or maybe it's a matter of that something hasn't clicked with a particular scene, but then mm-hmm. it finally does. Talk mm-hmm. to me about those things as somebody who oversees the show and watches it with a very close eye.
My motto is we call it a play so we can play. And so I always try and go in as positive as possible. Granted, I stole that from Mr. Peter Anthony James Carey. So let me just say that that is not my saying. For this show in particular, the challenge is actually, even though Jen and Nathan have written a fantastic script, it is original. No one's ever done it before, and so the creative process really never stops. We're always, what if? Let's add. Maybe this will help make this better, and that is both on a design element as well as an acting element and staging element. And so underscoring had to be added, arrangements had to be done, sound cues had to be created from scratch, so there was no blue book. And so that's actually more exciting for us because it really is ours.
Yeah, you're not trying to walk in someone else's shadow. You're going to be able to cast one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
Yeah. I got to ask Jennifer this, and that is being somebody who, you know, you're getting to see this probably throughout as it's developing. How is it coming out for you? Not only to see how the director, how Corinne is doing as far as putting it together, but then when you're adding some of the key elements, when you dress these folks and you're seeing them up on, mm-hmm. you know, the Buckley Performing Arts Center stage, mm-hmm. what's that like for you?
Well, it's been a wonderful process. And we talked about the fact that Nathan and I had decided that we would try to write the script. And to have Corinne get behind it and to have Steve Shannon get behind it and the entire production team before they had ever even read it mm-hmm. was testimonial to faith. And it was wonderful mm-hmm. to have them do that for us because you just never know how it's going to turn out or if it's going to read well or play well. And so far it's been an incredibly smooth process considering.
Yep.
I guess I want to ask you this, and I think maybe it's a redundant question that I ask any time I speak with folks when it comes to community theater, but talk to me about the beauty of community theater and how special it is compared to if you go to the Wang, you go up into the city, or you go to New York to see a big production, how it pales in comparison. Corinne?
Part of the beauty of community theater is we get like 4 months to work on something. And in professional theater, they get cast, they have 2 weeks of rehearsal, and they go up and they're in the show. Mm. We really have the time to get to know each other, to create a community. I mean, the name is community theater. And so these friendships and these relationships are built that I don't think professional shows have the opportunity to. And I mean, they do. Obviously, you have friends and stuff, but we're together for a real long time. So that family element is really strong by the end of it. Mm. And also, it's affordable. And what we get to give audiences and give back to the community is a gift for us, from us. We love being able to do that. And so not only do we like doing it, we love sharing it.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, you want to weigh in on that? Because you've been somebody who's you're a veteran of community theater in various aspects. Give me your thoughts on a community theater.
Sure. I agree with Corinne. But another element for me is that it's a vehicle for a lot of very talented people.
Amen.
In the area. When you get involved in theater in this area, you realize that there are stars. There are people who have incredible voices,
yep.
and incredible acting skills, wonderful dancing skills.
Yeah.
And so community theater really gives a vehicle for that talent. Mm-hmm. And like Corinne said, at an affordable price for the community.
Yeah.
So we really try to give a quality production when we produce a show.
And not to gush and pile on here, but I had a chance to. And I, just to kind of, hold on, Joe, give me half a second. You can say something here. But you know, I had a chance to see Corinne's Massasoit directorial debut, and the young person who played Dorothy, who was phenomenal, mm-hmm. and to see some of the complimentary pieces that were put around her that were also his talent. It wasn't just one person who that was shining, but there were so many elements to, you know, you had an individual who not only played this wicked old woman, but was the witch. And did a phenomenal job. And you would have known the person if the individual walked by you in the lobby. The individual was that good. But you had so many key elements. And I want to throw, I mean, Kels Ferguson did a nice job as Dorothy. Mm-hmm. And sang her heart out, was fantastic.
Sure did.
Yeah. And I also, I followed her on Facebook and how she was kind of, she was so nervous about it. And when I went to see it, I was not disappointed. You will not be disappointed if you go see a community show, whether you go to a company theater or you go to Massasoit and see their show at the Buckley starting this weekend, you can't go wrong. If I've misstepped here, please let me know.
Oh, absolutely not. Just because it's called community theater doesn't mean that it can't have a professional quality to it. Mm-hmm. Our team is a professional team. We are a professional staff. We've been doing this for a long time, and we really like to give people something they can feel happy going to and enjoying, a night of bliss, so to speak.
Did you hear that, Joe? A night of bliss. Maybe you can learn something. Did you have a question?
Wow, Kevin. Wow.
Under the bus.
Is this the first time that you guys have done Christmas Carol?
I believe it is. In the time that I've been involved with the Massasoit Theater Company, it is. So that's 1997. I did my first show there. So I can only go that far back. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know if it had been produced before that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And this is also an element, I believe, because it's something that you guys have adapted, is something that maybe down the road we might see on the college's TV station? Is that possible down the road?
Do you know the answer to that?
I do not know the exact answer to that, but because it is ours, we do have that gift, that luxury. So hopefully, fingers crossed, but it would have to be down the road for sure.
Just something to just kind of throw out there. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten to the folks. Who are some of the folks that you have cast that are in this show that you want to kind of expose? Maybe their family is listening, or maybe some of their relatives or friends are listening, mm-hmm. and might want to, maybe they're not aware of the show just yet. Kind of odd that they wouldn't know, but you never know.
Oh, geez, 40 people. Let's see if I can do this. Everybody is wonderful. Forgive me if I forget you. Just names. Matt Arell is playing Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge. We have Jules Tanner is playing Jacob Marley, the ghost of Jacob Marley. Andrew Cooper is the ghost of Christmas Past. Ethan
Mantelos
is playing the ghost of Christmas Present. Future is a big mystery.
Nobody knows.
You. Creepy.
Well, very nice.
We have a lot of new people, a lot of students. Joey Vaccaro, Ariel Wigfall, Aura.
Is that key that while you have a lot of veterans, mm-hmm. in the community theater realm, that you have maybe some of the students be involved in it too? Is that big?
It's going to be. Yeah. We are trying to really pull the students back into our community. Obviously, it is community theater, but we want the students to have an opportunity to be able to learn and grow alongside veterans. Mm. And so we have cast 14 students in this show in particular, and they were talented. So it's not, you know, it wasn't a gift. They worked for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess I want to kind of throw out there, and you alluded it to earlier as far as how a cast comes together. Every cast is different somehow, how they come together, when they come together. How has this cast been different in coming together, whether it's Jen, I mean, when you get to see them, or Corinne, mm-hmm. how has it been different for them coming together as a group for the show?
Well, like Corinne said, they actually hadn't been together very often. Mm-hmm. The rehearsals were put together in little scene snippets, mm-hmm. and most of the scenes don't contain large numbers of people. Mm-hmm. But the other night it was really nice. They had all landed in the same room again, finally, and the stage manager had them do the circle and reintroduce themselves, and they seemed, mm-hmm. to get really excited about it. That there was like a real excitement happening the other, mm-hmm. night. So that was great.
Mm-hmm. Corinne, would you want to add to that or?
A little bit, sure. I might go off the cuff here.
We got about 2 or 3 minutes left, so please.
We have a lot of young people, a lot of young, talented folks in this group. And granted, the ages span for sure. But everybody has this kid-like quality. They're very youthful, very bright, very fun. Everyone comes in with this, I want to be there, let's have a really good time attitude. And so because they're all kind of the same mentality, they're coming together very quickly because they're all like-minded. They're all goofballs, and they're so fun. They're just willing to play in the sandbox.
Again, just a reminder, again, that was Corinne Mason joined with Jennifer Spagone, and they are with A Christmas Carol, which is actually going to be opening up this Saturday. Friday and Saturday shows, there's only one Friday show, and I believe that's going to be the 12th. Friday and Saturday shows are 8 p.m. What time do the doors open? Do we know? Is that 7 or 7:30?
7:30.
Yeah. That's when the house opens. And then there's Sunday matinees. Again, this is for 3 weekends. And one of those weekends, which is, I think, the final weekend, will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Get your tickets early. Folks are going to want to take their families. This is a family-friendly show. If you're looking for something to do and for it to be inexpensive, this is a fantastic venue to go to, the Buckley Performing Arts Center, located Route 27, Massasoit Community College, the Brockton campus. If you want to get tickets, 508-427-1234, or I believe it's massasoit.edu. You can always just Google Massasoit. Anything that I've overlooked or omitted that you ladies want to make sure that we tell the folks who are listening to this program?
Christmas time for me, and not just Christmas, but the holidays in general, is really about the celebration of family and the celebration of love and being able to come together with the people that you care about. And I think that A Christmas Carol is a beautiful opportunity to share with your family. Come and see us and come share this experience with them. You'll have great things to talk about over the dinner table. You know, spend some quality time with your family this holiday season, and hopefully you'll come and do it with us.
Jennifer, anything in closing?
I think it's a really fun and festive thing to see a play in the holiday season. And I think that it's a time when maybe some people who aren't so interested in theater give it a chance. And when they come, they realize that it's a good time. It's a lot of fun.
Any big plans, ladies, for Thanksgiving? Family, friends, what?
Sleep and turkey.
Yeah. I'm cooking the turkey for my family's Thanksgiving dinner. So,
Joe, any big plans for Thanksgiving?
No, I think you and I are spending it together, aren't we?
Yes, we are. you're cooking the bird, I'm eating it. That's another Monday Night Talk. Again, don't forget to check out this show. And also, you know what? Have yourself a great holiday from myself and Joe here.
And me.
And Joe. You have been listening to another edition of Monday Night Talk. Be sure to tune in next week at 6:15 at the same time right here on 95.9 WATD. Have a good night.